I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Frost, and today we're at the National Equine Forum. This place is amazing. 250 of the top industry experts get together every year and discuss the future of the equestrian industry. And my guest today is Alan Hiscox. He's the Director of Safety at British Horse Society. How are you, Alan?
Yeah, very good, Amy.
Now, well, you know about safety because you were a policeman for many years, weren't you?
I was in the Mounted Police in London for all of 32 years. Yeah, so riding on the roads, you know, I have total empathy with riders who experience issues and problems on the roads because, yes, I've ridden a young horse, you know, around some of the busiest roads, in the world. And sometimes it's been on two legs, sometimes it's the front leg, sometimes it's the back leg. So I have total empathy with all riders, and I still ride on the roads today.
Do you? Do you still have horses?
I don't have horses, but I borrow other people's horses and still get out onto the road. So, yes, I know exactly what recreational riders and other riders that take their horses on the roads face.
Well, let's be honest. It's the traumas that we have to go through. Every day we're putting our lives at risk by riding anyway. But then to face the cars and the bikes and the scary cyclists, it can be quite scary.
It can. I mean, yes, there are challenges to riding on the roads, but I feel that riders can help to prepare themselves and take, you know, certain responsibilities on the roads as well. So we're not just sort of pointing the finger at drivers and saying, you know, we're trying to educate you and influence your behaviour on the roads. There are certain things that riders can do and take into consideration to make themselves safer as well.
What sort of things could they be? I mean, we have the obvious wearing high vis. Actually, interestingly, I couldn't believe I watched this video on YouTube, Alan, and it was from a motorcyclist, and he has horses himself, so he understands, you know, our plight that we go through. And he did a video of moving along the road from light when it's really sunny into the shade, and mm-hmm. he couldn't see the horse and rider because they weren't wearing high vis. And I thought, well, that's quite interesting actually, because we wouldn't think to wear our high vis on a sunny day. We just think to wear it when it's really dark and miserable.
Well, I mean, you've hit on one of the points there, and we commissioned the Transport Research Laboratory to do a study last year called the Conspicuity of Horse Riders on the Roads. And they came out with three recommendations that, you know, actually will help people. I mean, it's not rocket science, and all riders should wear conspicuous clothing on the roads. I mean, their three recommendations were, and one's very interesting for anybody that's looking at speed limits on rural roads, especially that are 60 miles an hour. The first recommendation was that speed limits on roads with significant horse and rider activity should be reduced and enforced. So, let me put this into perspective. It's not actually every road should have speed limits reduced, but ones where there are, you know, significant horse and rider activity, where a bridleway leads to another bridleway on the road. So that was the first one. The second one, riders should utilise clothing that contains LED lights. And this should cover as much of the rider as horse as possible. And what they're talking about is actually prioritising the width of the horse and rider rather than the height. So having LEDs on the shoulders of the rider and also on the points of hip of the horse. And the third one, riders should use bright and reflective safety clothing whenever feasible. And they're talking about biological motion cues, having conspicuous or high visibility leg bands where the horse's legs are obviously moving. Then looking at width over above height, but also looking at the dominant colours in the background so that they can, you know, contrast accordingly, because sometimes in the certain times of the year, in autumn, perhaps you wouldn't want to wear an orange high-vis jacket. Certain sometimes when the rapeseed is out, you wouldn't want to wear the yellow. So it's the riders have to look at their background and look at what they're doing on the roads. But I would say that at all times you should wear high-vis clothing, and even when you're riding on bridleways and out in the country, because helicopter pilots look out for that high-vis clothing. So it really is, you know, a no-brainer when you go out riding, wear high-vis.
And there are great new products coming out now too, with the LED lights, and in terms of things that we can do, I think we're fully supported. And I'm guessing it's asking our friends and everybody on the yard to say, look, be safe. It's not embarrassing anymore. It's not, you're not going to look like a geek wearing it. It really doesn't matter. You need to be safe, because too many people are having these accidents. So things like that we can do. I'm guessing learn our highway code, learning what the you talk me through, what else can we do to make ourselves safer?
Well, certainly the highway code applies to riders as well as to car drivers. You know, make sure you are in control of your horse before you go out. Think about where you're going. Think about letting somebody know where you're going. Ensure that as you're riding along, you're aware of everything that's happening around you. Concentrate all the time to make sure that, you know, in case of emergency, numbers are put into your phone. Look behind you, see what vehicles are behind you, and if they're all stacking up, then just pull into the side and perhaps into a lay-by or a gateway and allow the cars to go. So it's about being aware. Use, you know, assertive hand signals, because we've all seen riders signalling to drivers, and sometimes it looks more like they're waving at them as opposed to actually asking them to slow down or stop. So correct and assertive hand signals. And also, there's the British Horse Society Ride Safe Assessment, which I would encourage every rider to look at. And look at our book. And there's me. I've ridden on the roads for many, many, many years, and I look through that book, and I'm going, oh yes, of course, there's that. Don't forget this. Have a look at that. So it is that awareness.
I'm guessing it's difficult when you've been riding for so many years. You can get comfortable, and you can think, well, I've ridden on the roads for years. I know the road. I know the routes. I know where I'm going. And in those circumstances, even if you know all your hand signals, how do we educate the drivers to help make us safer? Because I was doing a hand signal the other day, very politely. I'm always polite. I really like to say please and thank you. And even if they can't understand me, because, you know, they can't hear me because they're driving, I still want to make it obvious and I'm smiley. Because I think if I can just make that one car driver respect me as a horse person and a rider, then hopefully they'll be nicer to the next horse rider. So I think we should all be saying thank you and being polite, and we're the face of our industry. So, you know, it's important that we're nice. But when I was waving, you know, doing the slow down signal, which is my arm going up and down, the lady waved back at me, and I was doing a clear signal. So that's quite difficult, because she's not interpreting what I mean by my signals correctly.
No, I mean, you've hit on a point there. Firstly, talk about thanking drivers. Absolutely. You know, we should love drivers, even if you might not want to. You know, wide eyes, big smile, you know, hold your hand up to thank them if you can take your hands off the rein. But engage with the drivers, because we have to make them, you know, love us as horse riders. Because I'm sure, you know, a vast majority of horse riders, you know, are probably drivers as well. I'm sure we've all passed by horses and received no recognition at all that we've passed wide and slow. So that's the first point. The second one, educating drivers and trying to influence their behaviour. The British Horse Society are doing so much to try and actually educate drivers, you know, with our Dead Slow campaign. And this is the sort of crux of what I'm talking about at the forum. The work that we've been doing that covers everything from the Driving Instructors Association to the Motor Schools Association to working with police departments, road safety organisations, the Department of Transport. And it's all about educating drivers and trying to influence their behaviour, to try and improve their knowledge, improve their attitude, and ensure that they know how to pass horses safely. So what we've got is actually an actual behaviour change technique. It's called an intervention implementation. And what we're saying to all drivers is, if I see a horse on the road, then I will slow down to a maximum of 15 miles an hour. I'm going to be patient. I'm not going to sound my horn. I'm not going to rev my engine. And when safe to do so, I am going to pass the horse wide and slow, at least a car's width, if possible, and I'm going to drive slowly away. But we're also telling drivers at events, you know, we talk to driving instructors and driving organisations as well, and we tell them about the signals that riders will do. And in fact, in section 215 of the Highway Code actually says, be aware of horse rider signals. So yes, it is unfortunate that some drivers do not look at what riders are actually asking them to do. But if we are smiling, thanking them and actually being clear and concise with our signals, hopefully the message will get through.
How can we go about changing the Highway Code?
Right, well, we engage with the Department of Transport, and when the Highway Code is due for review, the British Horse Society will be involved in that review and consultation process. And that is one of our objectives, is actually to strengthen the Highway Code. And certainly, you know, that section 215, there's elements of it that I think can be strengthened.
Yes, Alan, go on, go fight the cause for us, please, because we need you to do that, because we all hate it. We all hate riding on the roads, and we don't want to do it, but we have no choice. We've got to get to the bridleways. With all these bridleways that are closing down left, right and centre, there's even less places for us to ride. And I do find it interesting in the Highway Code where some things that I believe should be a necessity are actually seen as you have to be aware of it. Just like you said then, you have to be aware of horse up riders. That's not enough. You know, the signs that you get in the Highway Code when people are doing their driving tests, there should be signs saying, what do you do when you see a horse? And what don't you do?
Well, we're talking to driving instructors, and actually we're doing work with them to ensure that driving instructors, you know, focus on how to pass a horse safely when they're teaching their students. We've talked to the DVSA, and in fact, their latest publication that is all about the theory test includes our dead slow messages in there. So, you know, we're doing as much as we can. And you know, you've also hit another very relevant point, that we've got to tell drivers that, you know, horses and riders, we have to use the road sometimes. Given the choice, you know, we would never be on the roads, but we are going from, you know, a multi-user track or a bridleway to another one, or we're going back to the stables from a bridleway. So, yeah. And every time that I talk to drivers, it's sort of the penny drops a little bit further, and they say, what, you don't really want to be on the roads? No, we don't, because together with the BHS Access Department, we're working for a safer off-road access as well. And equestrians are included, actually, in the Highways England Road Investment Strategy now. So I sometimes say we are the forgotten vulnerable road users. There's pedestrians, cyclists and motorcyclists. Well, now it is becoming a case when we're not the forgotten. So when everybody talks about vulnerable road users, whether it's the police, whether it's road safety organisations or even the Department of Transport, it is pedestrians, cyclists, motorcyclists and equestrians. So we've certainly, you know, as a big win situation there.
You've done amazing, Alan. Your team at the BHS, they really have, because we have these arguments. We go to our MPs and we tell them how we're unhappy and they say, oh, dear. And we need more than, oh, dear. We need to see some changes. And it's so nice to see all the years of petitioning that you've done and having these conversations behind closed doors are actually coming to fruition. And now we're seeing the changes that we need.
But yeah, and it is all about educating children. We tell them about the eyesight of horses and how they are particularly aware because they're looking for predators, because you cannot remove that flight instinct from a horse. You know, that is evolution, that's not training. Even police horses, the best trained police horse will still react to something. It might just be a flick of an ear or a muscle twitching. But we're telling drivers, you know, their eyesight is picking things up. So when we see, you know, a crisp packet, the horse could well see a ghost. You know, when we see this little sparrow in the hedge on the side of the road, you know, the horse could see a pterodactyl. When we see a puddle, you know, the horse could see a big sinkhole. And again, the penny drops for the drivers and they're going, oh, right. So there's three brains working. There's the rider, there's the driver, and there's the horse, telling them that they're flight animals. you know, and horses are working to a risk assessment. You know, I don't want to anthropomorphise this too much, but it's thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. So they're either going to want to reduce, avoid, or actually remove that risk. And then coming on to riders' responsibilities as well, you know, we can help them to accept those risks. So they're going to remove the risk by trying to kick. And we say to drivers and show them a film of just how quickly horses move and how far they can actually throw out a leg. The fact that, you know, that their whole, I suppose, the psyche is that they are going to try and move away from something they're unsure of. So, you know, there's the educating the drivers. So that's why they should pass wide and slow. That's why they should be a maximum of 15 miles an hour. And again, the penny drops and say, oh, but they move that quickly. Yes, they do. But their eyesight might see this. Yes, that's right. So it is all about giving them the those messages. You know, if I see a horse on the road, then I will. But also telling them why that should happen.
I think there's an element of breaking down the arrogance as well, because every road user seems to think that they're the most hard done by. Whether, you know, they're riding on a horse, riding a bike, riding a motorbike, or driving in a car, they all think, oh, well, I'm, you know, a car driver says, oh, I'm not getting to my place quick enough because the cyclist is in the way. And the cyclist says, oh, but, you know, it's dangerous to be with a horse because it could, you know, there are all these different issues. Ultimately, I think we have to take on some responsibility and say, yep, we're all in this together, so let's just try and get through it together. But an interesting thing that I've been told frequently on the roads, and bearing in mind I'm super polite, is your horse shouldn't be on the road because you're putting yourself and your horse at risk riding on the road, and it's dangerous to have your horse on the road. And my response is, I'd like to be able to educate that driver. And I say, yes, the young horses in particular. It seems that many people have issues with young horses being on the road, which I understand. But how do you get a horse used to being on the road if you don't take them out on quiet roads?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we talk to drivers and tell them that, you know, if you see a horse in a pair riding alongside, the chances are that the inside horse will either be a young rider, have a young rider or a young horse that's learning how to accept, you know, nuisances and cars passing by. So again, it's getting that one over. And we are working with Cycling UK. We're working with the motorcycle industry as vulnerable users. So the message is getting out there. So I think, and I've been told by a lot of riders that probably the most sympathetic road users on the road are motorcyclists. Perhaps they actually feel that sort of affinity with another vulnerable road user. Mm. But yes, it's all about trying to get this. And we're not going to reach every driver.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, even if our Dead Slow campaign was the most successful and continues to be the most successful, you know, there still be those slightly arrogant drivers out there, and we'll never reach those. But you know, at the Equine Forum, you know, we're going to be releasing our up-to-date figures, and you know, it'll be interesting. It's just something that I really feel very passionate about. Perhaps it was because of my experiences, you know, on a police horse. And even though, you know, I was on a police horse, there were ignorant people around. You know, you'd ride along the road and there'd be a delivery van at the head with a roller shutter. And you could pretty much expect that somebody would slam the roller shutter down just as you were passing, or they'd bang on the side of the. So, you know, I know, and I hope everybody else realises, it's impossible to reach every driver. But if we can save one life, if we can save one horse's life, if we can actually bring the number of incidents down, then you know, that is a success for the Dead Slow campaign. And what I would also emphasise is we need the statistics. We need people to report any incident, even if it's a near miss, to our horse accidents website, on the BHS website, because it's those stats that then we can go to the government and say, look, this is the reality. This is what's happening on our roads. And that's when they sit up and listen. And that's exactly what happened at the Westminster Hall debate on July the 4th last year. And the Transport Minister heard our statistics. And then we're working with the DFT to actually ensure that our horse accidents website, you know, can be verified, can be validated. And everybody will say, well, you know what, that BHS horse accident website, that is producing what is a more realistic picture of what's happening on the roads. Mm.
Does your statistics, do they include near misses?
Yes, they do. Yeah, and that is important as well. We'd like drivers to report near misses with horses so that we can look and analyse and see if there's any, you know, hot spots around the country, if there's any action that we can take, if there's any advice that we can take. So, yes, near misses are part of it.
I'm presuming that cameras have helped quite a lot, having little head cams or cameras on the back. Or I'm thinking again of those high vis. You've got two high vises that I love, which one says young horse in training. I think that's really good. And the other one says you're being watched.
Yes.
Because it's got a camera. And does that make people just kind of think a little bit more before they react?
Well, again, the Transport Research Laboratory, actual writing on the conspicuous high-vis clothing, there's no proof that that actually makes people slow down or pay any more attention. I mean, it's an urban myth that it does, but the more that drivers realise, and it's happening everywhere with dash cams in cars, motorcyclists have them, that they may well be filmed passing a horse too fast or too close. And the police units are actually taking this very, very seriously. It's Operation Snap in Wales, where riders can send in their footage. And there's been letters sent out to drivers. There's actually been prosecutions taking place with Operation Snap. And that is becoming more and more across, you know, all the UK forces. And there's another great initiative up in Scotland, Police Scotland, their mounted unit, are actually going out in plain clothes on horses. And there's a traffic car further up the road, so when a car passes, you know, the plainclothes police officer too fast or too close, they're stopped by a traffic car further up the road, and the driver is educated on how he should be passing, or how he or she should be passing a horse.
Oh, that's brilliant. They don't hand out tickets yet, though.
Well, they started off with education, and then they're going to move to an enforcement basis. But this, it comes with our link with Cycling UK, because there's the close pass operation where there's plainclothes police officers go out on bikes, and exactly the same thing happens. So there again, that link with cyclists, vulnerable road users. No, it's the same message that between cyclists and horses trying to get at drivers. You know, pass us slowly, pass us wide, and just ensure that you're aware that something untoward may happen.
I do. I think it's great. And I think having that opportunity to work with Cycling UK and, like you said, the other vulnerable users, it's nice that everyone's coming together, because for a long time, and I, you know, I'm certainly not proud of it, I did used to think of cyclists as the silent killers, because when they ride past, they're so quiet, we don't know that they're coming. And then suddenly they have a gear change right next to you and that's it. You're in the bush. There's no choice. But I've started, which many people, that my friends, when they're out riding with me, find it quite amusing. But I actually say hello to the cyclists from a distance. So if they're coming up from behind, I'm like, hi, how are you? Trying to get them to talk. And if they're coming from a front, I do the same. And then I just chat to them the whole way when they're driving past. And actually, it was a tourist that had gone for it, because I live in the New Forest. And it was a tourist cyclist that stopped, and he said, why are you talking to me? And I said, well, because my horse is really scared of you. You're this super quick cyclist going past, silent, and then you might do a gear change, and he's afraid of you. So if I talk to you and you talk back, he knows you're there. And she said, I'd never thought of it like that. I thought if I was quiet, I wouldn't scare them.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's a common misconception there. But again, we're working with Cycling UK, and we're going to have a joint code of conduct for riders and cyclists. So that's going to happen very soon as well. It's great that we are having these collaborations, because it's going to improve the safety of cyclists, and it's going to improve the safety of horse riders, because we don't want riders to get kicked, riders of cycles, that is. But also, we don't want cyclists creeping up on horses, as you've experienced. But what you did, it's great. I mean, to me, that is common sense, and actually engaging these people and talking about them informs them, and it just gets that appreciation of each other's issues and problems.
A little bit of empathy goes a really long way.
Absolutely.
One of my favourite posts I've seen on Facebook recently is a motorcyclist, and he was driving along the road, and there was a group of them. There were about six motorcyclists, and they'd all pulled over, and there was this very scared horse trying to get past. So he, as a rider, as a motorcycle rider, he takes out polos with him. And
yes.
The rider can come along, he gives them a polo, they're happy, they get to have a sniff of the bike, and he's so understanding. And it was lovely to see the rider really grateful. And I think if people could see how grateful we are when we meet somebody like that who's so prepared to help our horses get through it, then I wish they could see that passion and how grateful we are.
No, you're right. And if people contact the British Horse Society, you know, we are happy to send out a letter to driving organisations, or, you know, a van that goes past and takes its time. Then we'll thank those people for you, or you can get onto their website as well and thank them. And you're absolutely right. When somebody does pass sympathetically, be it a motorcyclist, be it a cyclist, or a car, or an HGV, you know, it's nice to say thank you. But also, you know, if you catch the company, drop them a little line, drop them an email, because the drivers like to hear that as well.
Well, we're so quick to shout and get angry, aren't we? And we're so quick to blame. But ultimately, we're not going to make any changes unless we open up conversations with people.
No, and that's what we've been doing for the past year. You know, and there's other people involved, and other organisations involved in you know, the safety of horse riders. So, you know, we're working with them, and together, I believe we are making a difference. It might only be a small difference, but we have more riders telling us that they have noticed a bit of a change in the way drivers react to them. So, you know, maybe we are getting there.
Alan, you are getting there. I think it's great. How can we help you as an industry that ride every day, that have these horses? How can we support what you're doing on our behalf?
Well, if you're having any events, then the BHS is happy to come out and talk at these events. If there are drivers there as well, and invite driving organisations. Actually, the responsibilities of the riders as well. Report all incidents on our Horse Accidents website, and be aware of what's happening. Thank drivers, and just help that whole message getting out there. But the awareness of the Dead Slow campaign, MPs are getting involved. So, you know, write to your MP. I've been along to to meet some MPs with some equestrians and riders, and we've talked it through. So even in Westminster, there are some very sympathetic members of Parliament there to the Dead Slow campaign and that message through to the Department of Transport.
I think sometimes the focus is always on rural areas. I remember keeping my horse in a non-rural area where there was a little bit of land, and it's really hard for those people because you've got buses and taxis and busy roads. And, you know, if you live in a rural area, you're lucky. But when you have to deal with that every day, I remember this traffic light crossroads, and it was one of the busiest junctions in the area, and if I wanted to ride, I had to go across this junction. And so in the grand scheme of things, it's where do we focus our educating people, and where do we focus on kind of teaching them that we just need a little bit of support rather than we don't want to get in their way?
Well, yes, that's very true. And 59% of all fatalities actually occur on country roads, but IAM RoadSmart, the Institute of Advanced Motorists, they have a rural roads campaign, and they've involved the British Horse Society in advice there. So rural roads, you know, that's a big focus. And it's just slowly getting that message out there, and respect from each other.
Mm. If we can just go back to the cameras. If we see something that if we've been treated badly on the road and we have some footage of it, what happens then if we send that into the police? Are the police going to do something?
Absolutely. I keep quoting Operation Snap because that is the, I would say, the gold standard of helmet cam and dash cam. But there's also Operation Considerate in Greater Manchester. There's Operation Spartan in North Yorkshire. And other police units around the country have their own camera units. And yes, they will look at it. But one thing I must emphasise is that riders mustn't put it on social media. And they also need to have about 15 minutes of film both before and after the incident. But I can assure riders that in all the dealings that I've had with police units, that they are very much aware of the issue. There's funding issues in the police service, so they do have their priorities. But every dealing that I've had with the police, they have been very sympathetic of the incidents that have taken place with horse riders.
The fear I have is when a police car or an ambulance goes past. And I've been so lucky because they've always turned their sirens off because they learn. But it's still that, oh no, have you seen me? Have you seen me? Can you turn them off?
No, and indeed, you know, that's in police training. And I was only talking to a police driving instructor a couple of weeks ago. And he says, yes, no, that is actually ingrained in emergency service vehicles. And we had an incident last year where there was a fire engine that was on route to an emergency, and there was a rider, and you know, they did turn their sirens, they turned their blue lights off and passed really, really slowly. And the rider was so impressed with the response from the fire service that she wrote to them, and they had a very big PR exercise with the local papers, and the local media was invited along, and the riders were given a tour around the fire station. So yeah, it's There are some really good news stories out there. There's no doubt about that.
Well, Alan, thank you so much for everything that you and your team do at the British Horse Society. I feel like you're our little soldiers championing our cause for us. So if we'd like more information, what's your website address?
Yes, if you go to bhs.org.uk, and you can write us an email to the safety team. And yeah, we'll get back to you. We'll come out to your areas. We've got regional managers all around the country. And also we have volunteer safety officers. So yeah, we'd love to hear everybody's stories, good or bad, but we'd like to hear good as well. We're very happy to look into to everything. But you know, I'll emphasise once again, you know, I'm really, really passionate about this. And I do think we are making quite a lot of movement here with the relevant authorities.
Well, I'm glad you're passionate. It works. I mean, it's nice to meet the man behind the brand. Alan, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much. And thank you for speaking at the National Equine Forum today. We can also follow you on Twitter. You're at British Horse, and we can head to your website. Thanks, Alan.
Okay, thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can catch all the podcasts from the National Equine Forum on their website. Just head to nationalequineforum.com and you can see them on our website, horsehour.co.uk. I hope you enjoyed the live stream and getting involved in the conversations, asking your questions to the panel and to the speakers just by using hashtag horsehour, hashtag NEF. You'll be able to replay the videos from the forum if you just have a look at their website and their YouTube channel. Now, this event wouldn't be possible without the friends of the forum. Our corporate friends are the Blue Cross, Dodson and Horrell, the Donkey Sanctuary, Hadlow College, Newshall and SEIB Insurance Brokers. Along with individual friends, thank you so much to everybody that takes part in the National Equine Forum in organising it and making sure it's super successful every single year. We'd also like to say thank you to the forum sponsors, Beta, British Equine Veterinary Association, the British Horse Society, Bransby Horses, the Jeffreys Scholarship Trust, Bedmax, HBLB, Red Wings, Weatherbees, the World Horse Welfare, the Horse Trust, BHA, which is the British Horse Racing Authority, the British Equestrian Federation, and our great supporters, Bully Davy, Craig Payne, NFU Mutual, and we're proud to be supporters of the forum too. Really looking forward to next year. Already there's a date set. It will be the 27th National Equine Forum, and it takes place Thursday, the 7th of March, 2019. I can't believe we're talking about that already. So pop that in your diary, 7th of March next year. So I hope you enjoyed this year's National Equine Forum. I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8pm UK time, 3pm Eastern, by using the hashtag horsehour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.